Welcome to the Exit 68 podcast with your co-hosts, Matt, Justin, and Ben.
The Exit 68 podcast here. We're back. It's Matt along with our very good friend, Mr. McTague here, talking some UConn basketball. Got a lot to talk about here these last couple weeks, and a lot of games have been played, but things have been happening, Matt.
Things have been happening. I think even today we're recording on a Wednesday in April, and we have some significant news from around, I think, the team and just college basketball in general. So, down to get into it, I think there's a lot to discuss. And I think a lot of what we're going to talk about is going to be based off of TCW's RID and who's left after after today.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on. Obviously, you know, hung another banner a couple of weeks ago, and then, you know, almost immediately speculation starts who's going to be back, who's not. Doesn't look like Adama's going to be back. I think everyone's pretty cool with that, just kind of knowing what we know about our friend Donovan and how good we all think he's going to be. And then you kind of go one by one down the rest of the team. Hawks is gone. He's going in the draft. Newt and Ajax are going to check out the NBA, see what kind of interest they get. I think we'll probably get at least one of those guys back. And then today, just Wednesday, as you're alluding to, pretty sad. Thought we were getting this Timberlake kid. Ended up choosing the Jayhawks. Got to move on to the next one here. I think we're definitely still looking for some type of wing shooter to replace some of the shooting we lost between Hawk, Joey C, and our good friend Aline, who went over to the St. John's side of the conference. But besides that, Matt, we got a lot of talented freshmen coming in. We got a couple guys from last year who we feel really good about. What really sticks out of those moves? Do you think we're going to get Newt and Jax back? I think that's a good way to start. We're definitely getting one, and I think we're probably going to get both back.
I actually disagree.
Because of Ajax?
It doesn't mean I'm right. I just think that it's not likely we get either of them back. I mean, Andre spoke all year about how he was coming back, and now he's kind of entering the draft with the right to come back to UConn. But I just think there's a scenario where basically he realizes he's going to drop into – I think with Andre, I think a team like the Wizards, a team like the Rockets, a team like Charlotte, they're not going to take him because they know he doesn't add the value that he can to those teams on an individual basis. But I think there's teams like the Warriors, the Lakers, the Bucks, where he can fall to those teams and they don't need him to do anything from an individual perspective, but he fits really well into their system and they can grow him. And I think if he realizes that in these workouts, as he starts to assess where he falls in the draft, he may actually make the move to the NBA. Newton, on the other hand, inside source, has said that he has been out since the day after the championship, where he's been telling everybody he's out, he's not coming back. And I just don't think that Newton's stock is going to be as high next year unless they repeat, which is, you know, as much as we want to think they can, is unlikely. So I actually think there's certainly a possibility both of them go into the draft.
Wow, didn't have the inside information on Newton. That's pretty important stuff. Obviously, he gave a lot to this team this year. I think that's honestly one of the first things I want to talk about, you know, before we start looking forward too much. I think I owe my good friend, or our good friend, Tristan Newton, a bit of an apology for how much I doubted him during the year at times. I think I brought him up a couple times on this. I think I was slightly justified at times, but the dude ended up kicking ass for us in the end and really, you know, took us all the way to the promised land this year.
Yeah, and I think he was, you know, the major X factor in the championship game. So I think you have to give him kudos to that. And I think he'll go down in UConn lore as kind of one of those transfers that came in and did he did more than Chroma, mm-hmm. even though Chroma was an X factor in 2014. I think he's kind of in a league of his own if it comes, you know, when you talk about transfer. I give him a lot of credit there. And if you want to go on a tie note, I think you kind of got to let him go and respect his decision and wish him the best of luck, right? He was tremendous in the championship game. He was tremendous really all year. I think in the beginning of the year, what you were referencing in terms of your criticism, my criticism was that, he didn't show up like he did the second half of the year and the first half of the year. I think that's why that was the genesis of a lot of our worry. But the kid came to play when it counted, and we certainly wouldn't be in the position we would be without him. Now, his departure, does that scare me? I prefer to have him back, but there's no doubt in my mind we can reload. I'm not worried about any of these people who are leaving. I think we still have a solid core coming in next year. You look at it, we have Klingon down low, probably Castle, Caravan at the 2 and 3, the 4. I mean, does Samson Johnson slip into that role? I don't know. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But you also have a kid like Solomon Ball who can play down there. I just don't think there's reason to panic because, I mean, we were panicking last year when everybody was leaving, right? Everybody remembers when Jalen left.
And
And
look how
then,
many more pelts on the wall, the guys that we have who are the core going into next year. Like, yeah, last year you're super excited about Adama. You're hoping Hawk makes that next step and you're hoping Andre figures it out on offense. And it all kind of happened. But comparatively, I agree, much better spot. We got Donovan Klingon, national champion, sophomore, already getting compared to Edie, I think has really gotten national attention. Then you get Alex Caravan. Most minutes, I think, on the team, top three definitely. Just played at the four the whole year as a freshman. I mean, that's a pretty solid two guys combined with this coaching staff to go to war with next year and build around.
I
Not even talking running the freshman.
co completely agree. And I mean, Samson Johnson, if there's anything we learned about Hurley, is he knows how to get the best out of players, right? Look at Hawk, who didn't do anything last year and then came in and was arguably the best shooting guard in the country throughout this year. I think we have to put some confidence in Hurley to be able to say, if you think Samson Johnson's a starter next year, Samson Johnson's going to come to play.
Yeah.
So, I think there's some stuff to be excited about. And then, you talk about the recruiting class is absolutely insane. So,
So much, so many different tools, in the toolbox from the five guys we got coming in. A lot of athleticism, a lot of just bully ball. Really, really exciting crew. I think though, I cannot wait to hear your answer on this one because you're just praising our guy here. I mean, the work that this coaching staff did and the way I feel about Danny Hurley right now, almost feel vindicated to an extent after defending him, these years to you and other people referring to him as
absolutely.
Danny the recruiter, because guess what? Danny can fucking coach.
Because he can coach. Absolutely. There, in fairness, their offense this year looked light
Yes.
years
It
ahead of
was
what it
a
was in recent vintages.
different level.
Absolutely. But he's preached the defensive end of the court the entire time he's been here. And finally, I think the entire team bought in. And he's proven that that's a viable way to win. So that's going to continue to be the culture, but their offensive sets and the shots that they got up this year was easily, a step above what they've been in recent years. So, we'll say, my confidence lacked when it probably shouldn't have, but I do think some of the issues we had on the offensive side of the ball were warranted in previous years. I mean, if you look at
I mean, it's a
their
personnel
game.
based it's very strongly across those years as to why things look the way they did.
Oh, I think you're probably right. Right. I think that it's absolutely indicative of how you have to give a coach time, right? You have to let him get his own kids in there. You have to let him figure it out. Danny grew as a coach. He said in many post-national championship interviews with popular podcasts and interviewers, that he grew as a coach, he still has growing to do. And as long as he realizes that, I think the ceiling is multiple championships.
I
Now,
agree.
one thing that improved tremendously was end of game, end of half, end of shot clock, offense. Because in previous scenarios, they wouldn't even get a shot up. And then you look through that entire thread that was thrown out on Twitter, of
I couldn't
every
believe it.
single
Literally could
angle
not believe
half
it.
shot they had that went it was insane. It was a lean
Carabin.
Caravan and
Diarra had a crazy one.
Sanogo. Those
Yeah.
are the three guys just putting ball in through the nets every time at the end of the half. Like, that's not just by chance, right? That's they worked on that. Danny worked on that, and I think there's tremendous kudos to be had.
And just the zen that he showed, man. I mean, he just calmed it down to the nth degree. He had the fucking high-stepping clown in the stadium, I think twice in playoffs. And not even a peep from Dan wasn't even, I don't think, a T was really even in play the whole time. So much respect to
Cheers
him.
him.
He also, calmed the team down during that halftime in the Iona game when there are a lot of butts puckered. Among the coaching staff and the team about, is this going to happen again? Is Teddy Allen in that locker room over there today?
I know, and in have to kind of give a shout out to you, Matt, for mentioning that on the podcast after the Iona game, because that was something I did not know. I was not aware that he came into the locker room in the middle of that game and kind of shocked everybody by being just cool, collected, calm, and just staying even keel. And I think that was really telling in terms of the growth of him as a head coach, right?
Yep.
So, to hear that, I think that was kind of the icing on the cake where I said, he's really just kind of, he's changed gear. And that was recognized by the national media, right? I think there's plenty of pundits and correspondents who kind of gave Danny some credit and said, after that stretch where they lost 6 of 8, he realized he needed to kind of change as well with the, in tandem with the players. And that's just incredible growth, and also just kind of, the ego subsiding and him being able to kind of identify what needs to be done from his end in order to kind of get us to where we are. So it's funny though, because we've won the championship, but now I feel like we're all vying for a couple more already.
Yeah,
But I feel like that's where we should be. I feel like
exactly.
that's got to be the standard.
I mean, that's just the expectation now. I think one of my favorite stories I heard, just kind of, those low key side ones, is of how the team, they get there, they have all the trophies in the Worth Center, the four trophies that belong to the program. And then I think it was about 12, 15 months ago, Hurley and the team and the Caps got together and they're like, you know what? These aren't ours.
Yeah.
We didn't earn these. We got to get these out of here, and until we get one of our own here, and then we can bring them back in. And guess what? They have one of their own now. You got those other four, big stack of five now, all in the Worth Center, right where they belong. And it's just a reminder every single day of the expectation, because like you just said, yeah, every UConn fan wants to win a bunch more with them, and that's just what we do here. So yeah, why wouldn't we? Because we feel great about the guy we have. The structure in place, he might go to the NBA in a couple of years, as he alluded to, but until then, he's ours, and I just can't think of a better situation for a program right now in the country, borderline.
100%. In a couple things, I think one big thing is you see a lot of these transfers right now already making decisions. A bunch of them made them right after the tournament. Alene going to Patino and St. John's, among numerous other notable names. But Danny might be behind the curb in terms of acquiring these transfers, but that doesn't worry me either, because the one example we can kind of point to is the effectiveness of Calcaterra this year, and who was the only other offer he had coming out of San Diego? Vanderbilt. And Danny was able to acquire him and make him, the best player he could be within our system. And I'm just confident that he has the ability and the knack for identifying talent, that he'll get some under the radar transfers in here who can really make a difference next year. And I think with the core we have, despite a lot of people leaving, we can make another go at it next year. I really have all the confidence in the world in Mr. Hurley in that sense too.
No, I agree. Happy to hear that we're back on the same page here, because he's our guy, and wouldn't want anyone else. I think kind of looking back a little bit personnel wise, one thing I want to bring up with you, because something I just thought about a lot ever since championship game, Is this the best setter combo out of any college basketball team that you've ever seen? Because I'm really struggling to find, just from a roster construction perspective, a better 1-2 punch at the five position than we had this year with Adama and Donovan, especially because of how differently they played.
I would say the Kentucky team that had Cousins and then the big white dude whose name escapes me was pretty good as well. What was that guy's name? Who's 4-2, but I do think Sanogo and Klingon have proven that. I mean, you gotta mat you have to line that type of 1-2 punch, right? You can't have two juniors who are both equally effective like that. You need to basically have it lined up where you have this senior guy who's the starter, he's earned his stripes, he's the leader of the team, and then you have to supplement that guy with a freshman who's up and coming.
Who
And there's
just
just not a lot
happens
of
to be nasty.
who just happens to be an NBA prospect, apparently. I think it doesn't come around very often. So I mean, it was so much fun to watch. I'm bummed that they didn't really find a way to play them together, but at the
Same
same
here,
time,
Matt.
that's what made it so beautiful, right? Was that you just didn't have that quality when you subbed one in for the other. They both were tremendous in their own ways, and there just really wasn't ever a lull at the five spot throughout the game when playing
I
UConn.
mean,
So
all year. They're like, it's just
literally every game.
every single game, you're just like, I don't really care who they have over there, but I know that we're going to dominate the five on both ends of the court.
100%. Whether and they did it in very different ways, but nonetheless, the productivity out of that position all year was really the bedrock of the team. And then you supplement that with the most threes ever hit in UConn Hoops history.
And the most
It's just a
assists.
and the most assists. It's really, I mean, that's the most underrated part of their entire game,
I agree.
right?
And
Was their
we talked
passing.
about it early. This team played so connected from such an early stage and so un it was so egoless, it was so unselfish. I mean, those first couple games, you're like still trying to figure out who the guys on the team are, and everyone is just snapping that thing around. And it was just a joy to watch all year.
It really was, and that comes down to, I think, their connection just off the court too, and I think why that's so imperative and really can make up for maybe some of the shortcomings you have in your game
Shout
is
out
just
Andre
being,
Jackson.
shout out Andre and Adama, I think, for kind of leading the culture there, and that's what I don't want to sound negative, but that's what kind of worries me about Castle. Right. Is he gonna come in and he's gonna buy into that culture, and who's the leader next year?
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of moves to be made on the chessboard.
But are Klingon and Caravan gonna be able to keep up that culture next
Yeah,
year?
I mean,
That'd be
yeah,
great.
Caravan's gonna be like bullying Castle. Good luck picturing that.
Exactly. That's my point, right? You have Diarra and Johnson, who are kind of the senior guys there, and that's why I think that would be the biggest reason losing Jackson or Newton would be such a gut shot, is because you would lose part of that culture. You have Danny there, but you do lose a little bit in the culture when you have two guys like Newton bought into the culture.
Yeah.
Right. He knows if he was to come back, he would know exactly how to operate.
Mean, Andre, man, God, just picturing those early practices with him on Castle, just driving at each other. Like, oh, I mean, if Andre doesn't come back, though, the amount of like those early practices with five new freshmen coming in who are all pretty nasty, like, I would pay to watch. Of because, everyone's trying to be that lead dog. Like, it would be crazy.
100%. No, I agree, and I think it's good. At the same time, I think, some of these guys probably need a kick in the ass, and Andre's willing to give it to him, right? As you
Yeah.
just said, Caravan's not going to be locking down Castle day one and teaching him, this is the UConn way, as much as I love Caravan, right?
Yeah.
Caravan's a piece right now. and he can definitely play that role maybe junior year, but he's the
I mean,
best coach.
Klingon's a big dude, but he doesn't really strike me as like a culture enforcer. You know, he's just kind of like he just seems like a fun guy.
Yeah,
Like obviously
even if he
takes it
is.
seriously, but I can't picture him getting in someone's face. But obviously, I don't know him at all, so
And imagine if Kamani leaves, right? Like, it's just,
I know
you
Tom
got
Moore's still
Mr.
there though, so chill out. As long as he's there, everything's fine.
Mr. Moore's been there, was there through the all years that were absolutely dreadful, right?
Yes.
And he was there for the first couple of years of Hurley. Like, Tom Moore is a great servant to the
He's the
University of
godfather
Connecticut.
of the UConn basketball program at the
Oh,
current time.
yeah. At the, yeah, exactly.
He's like the acting consigliere.
But you just kind of, that's why you're gonna miss Andre if he
Yeah.
leaves. And that's why there's a bunch of high caliber NBA teams that are, I think, are willing to take a shot on him this year.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, and I you know, I'm almost at a point with him where I think he should go just because, you know, I think you know what you're going to get if you're an NBA team, and I don't know how much that thought is going to change next year, if that makes sense. It's like, oh, he's going to go to the combine and rip it up. It's like you watch a dude for 30 seconds to know that he's going to rip the combine up. Like, it's not going to surprise anyone.
Agreed, and it really comes down, I think if Andre wanted to stay and really kind of be that guy to UConn, he probably just wouldn't even have entered the draft, but he did.
Yeah.
So, and that's fine. He's earned it, but that's what worries me about him not coming back, right? Especially as if a team says, we really think you can add value here, he might take that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think another guy I want to just ask you about, I think I know where I stand. And I love this dude so much, and he's given so much to this program, and he, by all accounts, he's just such a great kid too. On Adama Sanogo. I keep trying to figure out a way for him to play in the NBA, and I don't see it. But am I wrong here, or what are you thinking?
No, I think you're absolutely correct. I think he's not an NBA player in terms of playing for 10, 15 years and having a long NBA career. And that's nothing against Adama. It's just not, his game just
And
isn't
it's just how
suited
the
for
NBA's changed too.
exactly 100%. I think he's a phenomenal Euro player. And I think that works well also with his situation. With his family being in Mali, I think he can get a year or two out of the NBA on a two-way and potentially make some very meaningful money doing that. And then I just see him kind of going over to Europe and playing for one of these tier one European teams, the teams that are in the Euro Cup every year, a Barcelona, I would say a Spartak Moscow, but who knows what's happening in Russia, but some of those really good Greece teams and just making really good money and being a very dominant Euro player, which is closer to his family in Mali. And I couldn't be more happy for him. He's always welcome back to the States and especially in stores, right? And I think that would just be wonderful to have him kind of have that all-star caliber European career. I think that's better than him being a journeyman in the NBA. I really do. I think for him to go over to Europe and kind of do what he does, because his game's built perfectly for the European game, where he's a kind of an inside first player with a put shot from the outside. Like, that's very European. He can be a little understand.
Can you imagine being just like a stretch five, you know, coming in the game off the bench, and you got, you know, four post ups straight where Adama is just beating the fuck out of you down, and you're like, what is going on right now, man? I'm only out here to shoot threes. What the hell?
100%, and I think the way he played in this tournament, it there's somewhere for him to fit in and slide in basketball globally, right? It's not like he's just a college player. He certainly has the talent. Like he was just so dominant against some very good players. I mean, look at him against Timmy, right? Timmy's supposed to be an NBA player. But he absolutely schooled him. Like, so,
Yeah, I mean, Timmy, there's a reason Timmy's going to play like 7 years in college.
Jimmy's we're going his final year to go to the NBA.
No, I know,
I
but no one's out here thinking he's going to be the next great NBA four. Like maybe he'll make it as a role player.
He probably will, but my point is he's still an NBA role
Yeah.
player.
Yeah.
That's what people are
Yeah.
kind
No,
of hope
you're
for.
right. You're
So,
right.
I just Adama, I'd be thrilled if he found a home in the NBA and made it work. I just don't really see that. And that's again nothing against him as a person or even his game. It's just a matter of fact, right? It's just not built for that. So I'd love to see him just have a solid. He's like one of the few players I would track in Europe,
Yeah.
and be watching his success. Like I can see myself in a couple of years throwing on, a game where he's playing in the Euro Cup and he's been down. Like I can just see myself following him in that path, and I can't say that about anybody else right now, right? So
Yeah. No,
again, I hope it.
he's a true son of UConn and couldn't be happier. He's such a good ambassador for the school and the sport in general.
Tremendous, tremendous ambassador. Yeah, I think that's exactly the right terminology.
You know, I think we're both feeling pretty good about the roster for next year. Obviously, a lot is going to change. I want a big prediction and I want you to ask me a question.
Sure. Prediction for next year is I think we backfill this squad with 3 to 4 really high quality players. And I think we struggle in the non-conference. But then I actually think we get it together for the Big East next year. And then I think we make a Final Four run next year as well. That would be my bold
Wow.
prediction. So it's a little bit inverse of what was this
Yeah.
year, where we dominated non-conference and then kind of struggled with the Big East. Next year, I think we're going to be a powerhouse in the Big East. I think we win the Big East next year, but I think we struggle early as we get some of these pieces together and we mesh the freshmen with the vets. And I
Think,
think
sorry.
there'll be well, I think there'll be questions about, whether or not we can repeat, and I think we go on a run in March. That would be my bold prediction. I don't know if you have one, and then I have a question for you.
I think my bold prediction is that we start two freshmen. We bring in some transfers to kind of help out the roster. And, this guy's just got an eye for talent. And we got a couple dudes coming in who we can't keep off the floor. I think we struggle in Big East play because, if we really have one true big. With the way they call games in the Big East, I see Donovan getting a lot of foul trouble and I see that causing issues for us. Okay. Yeah, that's what I got. What's your question?
I think that's fair. Do you see Stephon Caffell as a Cam Whitmore or Grady Dick?
In terms of style of play or attitude, I think
In terms of his freshman season. So I guess attitude would be the closest
I'm thinking
similarity.
Grady Dick, man. He came right in. He was one of the lead dogs on that whole team, and the dude fucking play and he fit right in. I feel like he didn't detract from his teammates. I mean, I didn't watch him that much, but he was just kind of out there banging threes, playing hard. I think Castle's going to come right in and, a lot of people, I don't think want to say this, I think he's going to play the one right off the bat. And
So
I think Hurley's been telling him that he's going to play the one since he's been recruiting him. I just, I don't see him play. I think he's going to play some off ball and they'll probably share it, especially if Andre comes back. But I really just see this guy coming in from day one, playing the one. Playing on the ball, the tip of the spear on defense, and just being a grown ass dude, kind of leading the way. Halfway through the season, we're talking about this inside outside threat we have with him and Klingon, just rolling over people.
So, do you think there's a world where Solomon Ball and Castle are freshman backcourt for the UConn Huskies next year, starting wise?
Yeah, I think that's definitely in play, especially because, we talked about a little bit of relieving that ball handling pressure. Solo Ball's a dude that can really handle it. But he can still hold up on the outside. He's about 6'4", 6'5", plays pretty big. I absolutely love Solo Ball. I mean, him,
I
Stewart,
do too.
Ross, like Isangari, everyone's got just so much excitement to them as a basketball player. I think besides Castle, Solo Ball's the guy for me. He just gets downhill, man. He plays angry. He plays like just a pack of dogs, just running downhill. That's what it feels like, and it's fucking awesome to watch.
I agree. I agree. I think Ball is kind of the one to watch for next year. I think Castle is going to bring. So my thing about Castle is I'm afraid he's going to Cam Whitmore it and just kind of be
And know he's going, yeah, and try to get
and just be
his and just go.
one foot out the door the entire time. But
No, but
I think
I
those
think Hurley just doesn't recruit. Like, I think that's such a big part of the guys they recruit. I mean, we just haven't seen that much.
agreed, but then you get to an inflection point where you kind of have to just take guys who are 5-star recruits no matter how they fit the system, right? And
Yeah.
that's what kind of worries me. In the same vein, perhaps we're not giving Hurley enough credit, or I'm not giving Hurley enough credit, but I don't know. So you think next year it could be Ball, it could be Castle in the backcourt, Caravan, Johnson,
Stewart or
Thomas.
Ross in there too, potentially,
Usually,
besides Ball.
I don't think we're starting three freshmen next year.
No, two freshmen. I'm saying if Ball doesn't start. Caravan at the three, Samson at the four, Klingon at the five, and then, Jalen at the two, maybe, or I don't know, at the three, maybe Ball at the two. Whatever combo of that.
The freshmen are gonna get a ton of run next year.
Yeah, which is
That's what I think
awesome
those are
for
gonna grow
them.
in pain.
And
But
that's
yeah.
kind of. I think it's kind of necessitated too, especially in this transfer portal era. I mean, the expectations just different for these freshmen. No, these guys all expect to play right off the bat for the most part.
Does your boy Ramagulu get any run next year?
I think he gets a little bit, and I don't think I'm
I
crazy
do
for saying
too.
that. I
I
think
don't think you are.
he showed a lot, like not a
He's a
lot, because
scholarship player.
the confidence that he had at the end of games, he had a couple drives where and he's going by backups. I get it. But I mean, I think he showed a little bit, like enough to keep him around if he can. Why not?
His first one off the bench, I think he's definitely showing something in practice to Hurley.
Yeah, he'll be fun. I'm excited for him. Now, Hurley, on the other hand, Andrew Hurley, obviously had a great national championship by all accounts, but. He's got to keep his ego in check with all these freshmen. He can't get too high in his britches because, I mean, these dudes can fucking ball and they're just going to be spooling him up all day in practice.
Yeah. Oh, Yirin Hassan is transferring too.
No, Hassan's transferring, yeah, but he didn't really show us too much.
No, he didn't show us a lot, but I didn't realize he was transferring.
Yeah. I mean, Ramaglu will probably transfer, but until he does, I'm excited to watch him.
It's a lot more about who's transferring out of UConn than who's transferring in, but it was similar to last year.
Yeah.
We didn't know we were getting Lee. Is there any more Putnam Science kids out there that we can get back?
I feel like you've brought up Putnam Science every podcast we've had all year. I
Because
listened to the whole season. And th
did
there's,
you?
yeah, I think you brought up Putnam Science like at least three times.
Because it's the best Northeast border school, in my opinion, in terms of basketball, and we just don't get anybody from there. We had to cook a cook, buddy. He
Yeah.
transferred. So, I don't know. That'd be crazy if we got a cook back.
I would take him, dude. Give me
I would take him
I love
too.
his
Put him
game.
at the four.
I will never not be in love with his game at the four.
New coach, cooling, possibly,
Don't think
huh?
he could transfer again. I think he'd have to sit.
All right, that's all I got for
Yeah,
tonight, to
you
be
wouldn't have
honest.
to give him a campus tour.
No, you wouldn't have to give him a state tour.
But yeah, that's it. I mean, we'll see what happens these next couple of days. These are the thoughts that are out there. And go Huskies, man.
Yeah,
Enjoy the
thank you.
rest. The best part of this offseason is, whenever you get sad about something, you're like, well, we just won a fucking national championship, so it doesn't really matter.